Blog Talk Radio. niggas. This is for the niggas. Strictly for the niggas. This is for the niggas. The real niggas. This is for the niggas. Strictly for the niggas. This is for the niggas. The real niggas.
Number is 319-527-6300, and please press 1. If you're already here and you desire to be a part of tonight's conversation and poetry, press 1. Tonight's show is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? I got mine. You got yours? I am your humble host for the evening, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. I want to give a huge shout-out to our illustrious CEO, none other than author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. Tonight's topic, poverty. How has poverty separated you from your family, specifically the ones who are well-to-do, meaning because you lived in poverty, you didn't have access or means to get to them, or they simply just did not come to your get-togethers because maybe they were too uppity and didn't feel like it was their place? Or are you the one who was very well-to-do and specifically kept your distance from those of your family members who were in poverty because maybe they looked down or you looked down upon them or you didn't feel comfortable? You know, and I thought about this at my cousin's funeral. At my cousin's funeral, because there were family members there that I had not seen in a very long time. And I thought to myself, is it because I was the one who decided to make a decision for my family to move away and do better? Or was it because I grew up in poverty and those family members just did not make an attempt to come to be where we were, even though we had no means of getting to where they were? So understand that growing up in the projects, we had access to public transportation. We didn't have cars. You know, by the time I could even begin realizing anything in terms of age, my grandmother did have a car at one point in time. But as a kid, I never saw it, which means that it was gone by the time I was of age to even know what vehicles were, what cars were, or even to be able to access public transportation. So for me, as a child, even my cousin that passed away, they lived within walking distance, and she would always come visit us, and we would always go visit her. But the family, like her dad, they were well off, well to do. So we very rarely saw them. And I had an uncle that moved from Frederick, Maryland, from the suburbs to New York. And he, you know, my great grandmother kind of like isolated the family because she basically forced him away from the family because he was well to do. What say you this evening? You know, it's very, very interesting. I want to hear everyone's perspective. But that's my perspective. And let me go ahead and dive into this piece for the evening. This piece is called Not Giving Up. Don't mind me, but I really want to give up. As I look at my soul in an empty cup, I have given all I can to live up to the stature of a strong man. No matter what I do, all I see in the mirror is a complete failure. Lost, walking a path seemingly alone. I feel hurt down to the core of my bone. Searching for acceptance, not your approval, since you can't recognize that I am regal. My melanin-molded frame bears witness to the full potential of my name and the burning flame that exposes pure truth. I have to speak to you and provide proof that my options for giving up can't compete with simple logic that says keep going and don't suffer defeat, because no amount of racist hate will ever make me turn in my black card or give up on my family when times get rough or hard, even though my flesh wants to give in. But that's when the battle begins all over again. So when you look in the mirror, my friend, prepare to have the most powerful moment of your day, because you will emphatically say, I'm coming for you, world, to share my ability of self-awareness and unlimited potential, to embrace all the negative energy that seems so pivotal. But you and me are not the same, because the devil definitely knows my name, and I'm ready to give him all this smoke, because I ain't no joke. And that's that piece. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to dive into this discussion and this open mic poetry just so that I can hear from y'all, because I missed y'all, right? Like, it's been a minute, right? So let's talk about it. First up on the mic, we have one half host of the Love Zone, one half host of Poetic Therapy, and one third host of the Love Zone. Not the Love Zone, I'm sorry. Sorry, forgive me. Forgive me. You know, I just want the Love Zone so bad, but the Soul Cafe. Ladies and gentlemen, we have La Pearl La Negra. Hey, Danielle.
Van, you're right. I am one half host of the Love Zone, one half host of Poetic Therapy.
But I had already said it. I had already said it. I'm trying to give you a fourth show.
Lord. Now, take it easy. I just came. My G-mom, my grandmom. Don't put no more pressure on me. Lord.
Congratulations, Grandma. Congratulations. How are you
tonight?
Thank you.
I'm good. I'm just completely in love with him. He's so alert. He's so healthy. I'm so happy.
I love it.
Yes. I'm glad you had an awesome day today with your girl.
Man, listen.
Did you ever get a taste of the lobster?
No. She was serious. She was so serious. Like, we sitting there, we looking over the menu and everything, and I says, Logan, I says, what do you want to eat? She says, oh, I want lobster. I said, what? I said, wait a minute. How she gonna order a meal that's more expensive than my meal, and it's off the kids' menu, y'all?
Ain't got nothing to do with you. You said what you want to eat, right?
You know what? And I can't argue with it. My baby wanted what she wanted, and she got it. I just feel bad for men that they my daughter. They're going to have some problems.
Wait, one more question. Did you ever give up any shrimp?
Dang it, you know I did, right? Not one, but two. Check it. This is how that conversation went. Dad, I want some shrimp. And I looked at her. I said, but you ain't give me none of your lobster. She said, no, I said, all right, cool, here. Take this bite of this shrimp. She says, okay, now I want your new. Excuse me? Excuse me?
Oh man! Awesome.
But at the end of the day, you can't put a price on time and preciousness and just
That's
those
right.
moments that you create with your kids. So, I would do it all over right. again, all over again.
I know that's right. Oh man, I know that's right. That's what's up. That's what's up, though. That's awesome.
So, now let's talk about it. What are your thoughts about this topic? I mean, how does it grab you? Like, do you have memories? Were you the well-to-do one, or were you the one who was not so well-to-do, and your family just, you know, let's talk about it.
Okay, I have been in both positions a few times. The only difference between them and I is I never looked down my nose at them when I was up. They, on the other hand, would do just that. Like, they were better, didn't want me around, would say little, you know, messed up things. It was a mess. This is a very touchy subject for me because I grew up in a very, very large family. And as I was saying earlier, I didn't know that we were, not so much impoverished, but we didn't have as much as the other side of the family. Well, parts of the family, those sides of the family, let's put it that way, that were well off. And they didn't hesitate to show the difference, to make it known. I just didn't figure it out when I was a kid because my mother always made sure I had everything that I wanted, but I didn't get what I needed, which was the bond from her. You know what I'm saying? The relationship that I should have had with it should have been a relationship between mother and daughter that was past material thing. I always had, I had the prettiest room, the canopy set, every Barbie you could name and you know, right. The clothes that I wanted, but my mother wouldn't give me her. She always was too busy, so she would buy me something. You know, here, go play with that or go get this, you know. And that makes that plays a big part in a child's mental well-being. But this poverty thing, I never really, experienced it. Or I was just aware, I wasn't aware of it. But I do remember certain, as I say, clans, because I'm part of a very large bunch of siblings, having a certain attitude, a certain air about them when they would come around.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
And me, I'm just like, oh, that's just how they are. I didn't recognize it really or was able to put a name on it until I got older and started going out on my own. And when I needed, I learned how not to ask people for help. Because as large as my family was, the only time they wanted to be around was, like you said, at funerals or when they needed something from you. So poverty has caused a major separation. Even to this day, there are certain family members I just refuse to have contact with because of their attitude.
Right.
You know. So I just stay away. I mean, it don't bother me anymore. I just know what it is, and that's it, pretty much. So, yeah.
You know, it's listening to you. It's funny because I thought about something that literally just crossed my mind. Like when it comes to my first cousins, right? There are a total of six. A total of seven of us. My mom had four, and my other aunt had three kids. So I have three first cousins on my mom's side. Okay? So their mom kept them, if there is such a thing as lower poverty than what we were in, which is kind of hard to do, but she managed to do that. And they always thought that my mother's kids, we thought we were better than they were. And I'm like, you know, as we got older and we talked about it, I was like, how could y'all even think that? Do y'all not realize that we lived in the same house? There was like eight or nine of us in this three-bedroom house. And I'm like, how could you think that we thought we were better than you? There was no way you could possibly think that. We ate the same food. We wore each other's clothes. I mean, come on. But they did. They thought we were better than them. And you know, and when I listen to you and your side, I'm like, you know, those are the ones that came to the cookout and only stayed for like 5 or 10 minutes just to say they came. Okay, all right, cool. Or didn't sit down on the furniture because they quote unquote didn't want nothing to jump on their clothes. Come on, y'all.
Right. Thought they were too clean. Yeah.
Thought they were too clean. Hey, too good.
Let me put this in there real quick. As far as that goes, I have one sister that I'm slowly but surely building a relationship with again. She did that to me and my kids. She's always been real, real snooty. And she asked me to help her one day with, they were having a block party out her way. And she asked me to come out there and help her with the grilling and everything. So I brought my kids. I didn't have Jordan, and I just had my two oldest with me. They were 4 and 5 at the time. And I'm out there with her all day, right? Now, I always knew that she was bougie and uppity, right? And I stayed with her all day. The kids stayed and played. Her kids played with mine and all the other kids on the block. Now, it's going on about 8 o'clock at night. It's getting dark, okay? You know, I don't know if you know anything about Philly, but when it gets dark time, okay, especially in certain parts of Philly, West Philly, you really don't want to be in certain areas.
Gotcha.
And when everything was winding down, we put the food away and we're sitting on the porch for a little bit. So all the kids, you know, that were friends of her little girl, went in the house. As soon as mine go in there, Danielle, bring them kids out here. Because she didn't want my kids in the house. Like, they was too dirty or they, you know, they were dirtier than the other kids that was outside playing.
Wow.
And I'm like, I felt every bit of that. So I just looked at her. It was no need for me to ask why because I already knew what it was. But because of that, I broke contact with my sister for years, and I mean years. I had never been so hurt in my life. I said, I got two babies in tow. These are not older children, and I'm your sister. And you want to have us out here in the night air at night in West Philly of all places, okay? I didn't even call my husband. I just took my babies and caught the bus home. And I just broke it off. And she told people that I'm antisocial. That's why I didn't speak to her. I haven't talked to her. You know,
no,
my husband,
sister.
Look, listen, my husband told people, he said, my wife is anything but antisocial. She will speak to a rock or an ant crawling across the ground. Okay. Ain't no way you can call her antisocial. But when people treat you that way, instead of wanting people to find out the truth behind it, they will make up something and make themselves the victim to side, to keep up the little, you know, the umbrella of the lie, you know. Poverty, and she was well off. I wasn't doing too bad, but she always had her nose up at me and mine. And hers was more so a jealousy thing. It wasn't that she thought she was better, but if she treated me that way, she felt as though it would make me, it would affect me a certain way, and she would get a reaction, you know. So it does cause a lot of separation in life and the relationships that you have with people, and it's sad. It really is, because everybody needs somebody for something
definitely.
At some time in life.
At some point. You know? At some point. You know, I could go on and on and on. But now that we've talked about it, what did you bring to share with us on this evening?
Hoo-wee. I was working on a piece. I was trying to write more, but this topic also brought up some really, really some memories that I did not want to tap into. But it's a piece nonetheless.
All right. The mic is yours.
All right. This is called Covered Greed. I've always shunned, even though I used to say that I was born to be mated with misery. That was my claim, my state. Always singled out, never to be praised, but to be blamed, even when I wasn't present. From as far back as I could understand, I held on to what they didn't want me to win, that they didn't want me to win. Until I was old enough to understand that I was the winner. Since birth, they'd always tried to drown me in their shadow, but the problem was that I never stopped breathing underwater. And then I grew wings and escaped what they thought was impossible. See, they never liked me to shine because I put a light on their burdens, failures, dependency, and sorrow, yanking the umbrella of their facade of nothing bad happens in this family and money doesn't make a difference, right out of their hands. But I emerged as their biggest fear, the dirty little secret that kept their finances in order. The one thing that could break everything that they've ever fought for to keep together. And that's that piece. Whew, Lord.
Wee! Man, did y'all hear this piece? I like when you said that you would bring, what was that line about bringing something to light?
Oh, bringing light to their burdens, their failures, dependency, and sorrow.
Yes, my God, yes. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're right. People will isolate themselves. They won't want to be around you. You don't even have to say anything. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens, yeah. And you're just there, and you know your presence brings about that kind of truth that it makes them want to distance themselves, and then they end up creating these fabricated stories, these lies, as the case. Oh well, she just that's just how she is. She antisocial. No. We're not gonna do that. But you will recognize the fact that you are who you are and you are this way.
Absolutely.
Dynamite piece. Dynamite piece.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Wait. Oh, my God.
What?
You know what's happening. You know, I just got a text message. I'm getting dirty looks.
Oh, Lord.
I told you I'm the boss. I told y'all now, I'm the boss. They laughing at me because they're like, yeah, you the boss right now. But once you get off that mic, all bets is off. So before I let you go over to the VIP lounge where the security team is anxiously awaiting your arrival, would you please let everybody know where you are in Epiphany?
I sure will. Ladies and gentlemen, as you heard earlier, I am one half host of Poetic Therapy, Alternating Saturdays with Poetic. And that's a place where you can come and relieve from mental stress through some open mic poetry and some healthy conversations. And I'm in there co-hosting with my favorite mountain man, Stan the Man Phillips, alternating Monday nights with Do What You Like, hosted by Mr. Metaphoria and Poetic. I am one-third host of the Soul Cafe, where I co-host the CEO of Epiphany, Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet Douglas. I'm Poetic. And y'all come by Monday night because we have a second half of the show. It's a segment called Pick Up Your Pen. And you will love it because it pushes your pen. It helps you tap into your creative side by putting you in a limited time frame to write something. You guys are going to love it. Come on by there. And Wednesday night, I am one half host of the Love Zone, where I co-host with my sexy, sultry voice diva, Miss VIP. Now, I'm working on a topic, but I have to let her know first before I let you guys know. Okay, so y'all come on by Wednesday night and get caught up in the love zone. Back to you, Poetic.
Absolutely. I cannot wait. I am so excited. I'm actually starting to get somewhat back to normal, so I should be back on all the shows as normal. But, I have to let you go because I don't want to fire the entire security team. I really don't want to do that.
Wait.
Good group of guys, but I put up with a whole lot.
Wait. I got a message because you've been MIA for a little bit. She says, I hope you're feeling better, and I hope everything is working out for you, baby. I'm like, you want me to deliver this message?
You know who the message is from. Okay.
I'm like, Lord.
I can't wait till Wednesday night. Can we fast forward to Wednesday? Can we just fast
forward? No.
Listen.
No.
All right. I'm gonna keep it together until then. Now, get on over there to that VIP lounge. The champagne tonight is imported from Italy, so please enjoy it. And yeah. If y'all want to pull the curtains too, it's cool. It's the VIP, you know. It's cool. Hey, listen. But get on over there and enjoy yourself.
I sure will. One love, one mic. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on her way to the VIP lounge, that is Miss La Pearl La Negra, a.k.a. Danielle. Make sure you catch her. Let's see. She will be this coming Monday with the Soul Cafe, then Wednesday, and then next Saturday, Poetic Therapy. So make sure y'all tune in. Coming up next, we have the other half host of The Love Zone and the host of Express Your Vibe that was on last night. Ladies and gentlemen, she is Miss VIP. Hey, Miss VIP. Miss VIP, are you muted? Unmute.
Hello,
your mic.
Van. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Good. Glad to hear you.
Yeah, great show so far.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, y'all make the show. I just show up. You know, I just show up.
You're showing up with a topic, right?
Oh yeah. You know, I just had some things on my mind. You know, when you take time to reflect, right, and you look at things, you see things differently. You know, that's why you can't be closed-minded all the time, because if you open your mind, you will be able to see different points of perspectives and ideas, and creativity will just flow. So, are you ready to talk about it?
I am.
All right, Ms. VIP, so we'll see you. How has poverty created your family dynamic? You know, do you have those who are better, who are achieving better than you or better than your family, and then they're, like, distant? Or are you that person that said, you know what, I don't want to go to your event because I'm just at a different point in my life, and I don't want to remember those times. You know what I'm saying? What say you?
I do. Now, let me go back to the beginning. In my beginnings, we lived in the burbs, but my grandparents never, ever let us know that we lived very humbly, okay? So it wasn't that. And the thing is that we had a lot of love, and I think that's what kept us going in life, you know, until we were old enough to be like, dang, I couldn't have a pair of Nikes just because they were too expensive. Well, I thought, and my grandfather was like, oh, you want a pair of leather sneakers? You better go work for it. I'm like, whoa. So that's the little niggling that you got where, all the heck, I got the, oh, you can't afford it. So we've had cousins that lived better than us. I thought that others that lived a little better than my family were just on the tip of acidity, but they tried not to let it show too much. And then over the years, I have half siblings, and they thought I was rich. Every time I turned around, they call me. They'll never say, hey, sis, how you doing? It's, can I borrow $300? What do you mean borrow? You know what you mean, half? But, you know, and they will always think that I was the well-off one when, shoot, sometimes I'm like, wait a minute, times are tight for me too. So I said no, and then for a minute, my brothers would not talk to me. And I'm thinking, well, just because I said no, are you kidding me? So, and it's unreal that the my bio dad's side of the family thought I was just uppity as heck, and I wasn't. I was very down to earth. They just never took the time to get to know me because my father was, my bio dad was in the world. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, substance issues with him. So that's one of the reasons why my grandparents kept me away from that other side, but they thought I was high somebody, and I wasn't. But,
wow.
Yeah, so
you know,
coming to today.
You just conjured up a memory from my childhood talking about your sneakers. Me and my brother in elementary school, we never really had designer sneakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is going to be crazy, but I remember from elementary school to middle school, the two pair of designer sneakers I ever got, one pair was a pair of suede Pumas, blue suede Pumas.
Right?
And the other pair was a pair, there was a shoe brand called Lotto, L-O-T-T-O, and it's a soccer shoe. And I saw it, I had asked my mom, can I have it? I mean, that ordeal, that experience, you know, seeing my friends in the store and having my mom be like, no, that's too expensive, and me feeling all embarrassed because here's my mom telling me I can't have this shoe because it's too expensive. And she actually got the shoe that I wanted. She actually got it for me. And when I wore them to school, no one else had that kind of shoe, had that particular brand, because they were all into their Nikes, their Adidas. When they saw this, they was like, yo, that is a cool shoe. And, man, I made sure I kept that shoe clean. I was hoping my feet didn't grow because I knew that it would be difficult for me to get another pair of designer shoes. So fast forward to today, my son will be 26 next month. And I never bought him anything but designer shoes.
Wow.
Because I remember what it was like for me to not have designer shoes, to be picked on, to be teased, so I made sure that my son would not have to go through that. And one day his stepdad, his mother's husband, asked her, why do you always get this boy expensive shoes? Why you always do that? It was a nice little argument. She said, hold on. She dialed my number and handed him the phone. She said, ask his father. I know one thing, he ain't asked me questions. But to your point, that didn't make me, as an adult, as a grown person, that did not make me feel uppity or like I was better than anyone else. I worked hard to get the things that I want, to get the things that he want, and I still do. But for your family to think that, you know, just because you're doing something, you're uppity or you're sticking your nose up in the air. No.
That's not bad at all.
That's just so sad. It's sad.
Yep. So now, as an adult, I say past, say, 30, finally they began to realize, like, hey, she's not so bad after all. But once the explanation came out, they were like, And so it was a good explanation. You don't want to be around a drug addict who could possibly, you know, put you in danger, you know, or himself.
Right.
So it was like,
Yeah. And then the whole money thing, just, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Just because we work doesn't mean that we have money for you. We work so that we have money for us. And, you know, my nieces and nephew, I love them dearly. I love them dearly. But at the drop of a dime, they will, you know, hit me up and send me Cash App requests. I'm like, yeah, I do realize I got five kids, right? Like that did not change. That did not change, right? Because you're not asking me to borrow money. You're asking me, can you have? And don't ask me, can you borrow? Because if you're asking me, can you borrow, I know that you're not going to give it back. So please don't ask me, can you borrow? Just ask me, can
you
have?
Exactly.
Because if I need to borrow money, my money comes in $1,000 problems if I need to borrow money.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt that any of my family members can go and say, oh, yeah, I can give you $1,000, you know, hey. No. And I'm not and I'm not saying that to put them down. It's just that we are at different points in life. Like,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I understand your points very well. I mean, you and Danielle raised some very, very good points regarding mm-hmm. Let's Talk About It, because, you know, it's just so much that goes on. And those family dynamics, man, family dynamics can be stressful. You can have extra stress because you're not even realizing. You're like, wow, am I feeling this way? And then the phone ring, you're like, oh, yep, there it is. There it is.
Here we go. Yep. Exactly. And I never gave them a dime. I refused to do it.
Yeah, well, I wish.
They followed, right? They followed our day.
I couldn't do that. If you know, my siblings, my nieces and nephews know that, you know, if I have it, they have it. So it hasn't stopped them from asking. So, I mean, they got grown, they got kids, and I'm just like, y'all, come on.
Oh, Lord.
When are y'all going to take some responsibility? I mean, granted, you know, now, if you call me and say, uncle, I need like $300 to help towards my rent, somebody get put out in the street. You know what? If I got it, you got it. But don't keep calling
mm-hmm.
me and asking for like $20, $30 here, $40 here, $10 here.
Yep, that
Man,
adds
listen.
Up. Mm-hmm.
Listen.
Yep.
But yeah. But,
exactly.
But thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your transparency on tonight. We got some people listening to Press 1 yet. I guess they're a little scared to be transparent. I don't know. Maybe they're afraid of what's happening. I don't know. But what did you bring for us for this evening?
Okay. Well, I just finished this right before the show. So it's entitled. Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
It was. Okay.
Mike is yours.
It was never, thank you. It was never poverty per se. My aunt had it made. She lived frugally over the years, sometimes through many tears. When it was time to retire, it seemed all shit hit the fire. Jealousy began to rear its ugly head from her sister. Her sister always tried to keep up. Everything my aunt had, she wanted. But my aunt never said a word. She realized whatever she told her sister, not one word would be heard. This sister was so materialistic, as fast as she made money, it was gone. It was hard to believe being in a small family. My grandparents made it so that we never knew how humbly we lived. Other relatives seemed to be well off. However, they weren't so happy. My family stuck close. We were taught to stay that way through adversity, even near poverty up to this day. Envy still continues, but love tamps it down. When one is about to drown, a lifeline is thrown with a guarantee of an IOU. The true wealth is family, health, maybe not poverty. But when it's near, thank God we remain true. Funny? Not really. When I needed money, I was ashamed to ask, but I was always good for it. But no matter how close we were, I got talked about. And I thought, this isn't how family is supposed to act when you're down and out. The day I realized I never had to struggle again, I vowed to never down anyone due to their struggles, because they could be one step away from poverty. And that's that piece.
Oh, my God. Yes, yes, yes. that last line, one step away from poverty.
Mm-hmm.
One step. Wow. For some of us, that is so true. So true. And you said that family should be the important component, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it shouldn't matter how much money you make when you're family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take a good example for me, and I absolutely love this movie because of the family dynamic that it portrays. It shows the good, the bad, and the ugly of family, and that's soul food, right?
Mm-hmm.
It shows you the value of family, and that little boy, all he wanted to do was fulfill Big Mama's wishes and get the family together for one more soul food Sunday dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell anybody, when my family was poor, that was when we loved each other the most, because we were stuck in a house together, and we had to make it work. So we cooked together, we played together, we had fun together. We had
mm-hmm.
our ups and had our moments, but
right.
That's when the family dynamic was so strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. Dope, dope, Ink. dope, Ink. Thank you so much. Now, before I send you over
Thank
to the
you.
VIP lounge, can you
mm-hmm.
let everybody know what's going on Epiphany?
Absolutely. Well, as Aprola Negra said, that we're in the Lover Zone every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. And we have very good topics. Some can be really racy, or some could be very, very controversial. But we always have a good time no matter what. And alternating Fridays, I guess I host Express Your Vibe. And lately, it's been me and my diva. And we realize that as people spit their pieces, we get to know them and each other. So last night was a very dynamic show. We just kept it going and kept it moving, and it was really, really good. So Friday nights, if you ain't doing anything, come on out. And that's
man,
it.
Y'all, make sure y'all come through. Certainly, I would have loved to have been there, but I can't attend the Friday night shows until things change. So I'm always praying for change. But I'm going to get you on over to the VIP lounge so you can grab some of that Italian imported champagne and you know, that mingle.
I like it.
Just walk past the VIP lounge section with the curtains closed. If you hear sounds coming from there, don't worry about it. You know, don't, you know, it's okay.
My diva can handle herself, trust and believe. She
I'm sure. That's why the security team is always requesting us. So, you know, they always wait.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't meet when I'm
Absolutely.
Not, when it's not happening. So, listen. But one love, one mic, and get on over there and take your socks off, baby. One love, one mic. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Miss VIP. She had a dynamite show last night. If you missed it, check out the archives and the playback. And then certainly Wednesday nights are Wednesday nights, and Epiphany is one of the hottest nights of the week. Love Zone, man, I'm telling y'all, if y'all haven't been tuning in, make sure you tune in this coming Wednesday to the Love Zone. All right.
Oh, this is Paulie. Let the church say amen. La da dee la la la. La da la la la. La la la.
You're listening to Epiphany Radio.
Oh, well, excuse me.
On the For Real Entertainment Network.
Oh, well, he sound like he come from England or something. I don't know.
La 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 la, la da dee da da, la la da 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 dee da da, la 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 la.
Epiphany Radio.
Welcome back to Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300. And by all means, please press 1 when you get here. And if you're already here and you desire to engage in this conversation, please press 1. Tonight's topic, how has poverty separated your family? Well-to-do, do they stay away from those who are less than they are, for lack of better word? Because in my eyes, no one is better than any other person, but your family members may deem themselves better just because they have a different quality of life. So we'd love to hear your thoughts, and I'm your host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. So let's jump right into the next caller. Area code 973, welcome to Let's Talk About It. Who do we have on the mic?
Good evening, Mr. Meadows. This is Edwina. How are you tonight?
Hey, Edwina. Oh, my God. You on my show? Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Somebody help me. Somebody help me right now. Glad to have you. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much,
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. The pleasure is all mine. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Edwina, you better tune in to Let's Talk Poetry on YouTube every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and you can catch her and her dynamic poetry. You can actually see her live and in color, y'all. And when I tell you, ooh-wee, watch out now. Watch out now.
Thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So let's talk about it, Edwina. What do you think about tonight's topic? What are your thoughts?
I think I've lived on both sides of that economic dynamic. So, and I think in my family, we all started out very poor. We came from those generations where they had 5 and 6 kids, and you know, mm-hmm. kids were born into parents who had drug addiction. So cousins grew up in the same household with one another, and you know, it was big mamas. My aunt was the big mama in our house because she took in myself and my brother and my cousin, and she had 9 kids of her own in the projects. So,
oh wow!
But most of her kids and most of the kids she raised all grew up and were you know, making decent incomes and taking care of themselves. I think for myself, it does put me in a place where I'm afraid to be vulnerable again. And I think sometimes that comes across as being a little standoffish again. I don't want people to see me in a vulnerable place the way that I was when I was younger. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So you've developed this stronghold, if you will.
Yeah.
Where one may view it as, oh, well, she's so stuck up, snobbish, and standoffish. You don't want to talk to her. When it's exactly the opposite. You can talk to me, but I'm just not going to allow you into a space where you can threaten my peace.
Exactly. Or I'm not going to be the mess of the family like I had no choice but to be when I was younger. You know what I mean? Like, I can't control
Absolutely.
Who my parents were, where it left me. But now if I'm in a jam, it's very hard to open up and say that something is wrong, you know, because it's hard to be in a place where it's like, oh, she's not doing well, or this isn't right. And I feel like, but one thing it makes me feel from being on all of these different sides of the spectrum is that we're all really looking for ways to protect ourselves and to help ourselves
right.
from whichever part of the fence that we're on. So I don't feel like I can, and I don't feel like there's a lot of that in my family either, where it's like people look down on one another. I feel like a lot of us reach back and try to find ways to, you know, some people in my family are way better at it than I am, where they have like events and they do different things and they show up at everybody's everything in order to be, you know, show that the family is still an important community with the way it was back then. Like you said, when we were younger, we didn't have a choice. So you had to make the best of
right.
whatever it was.
Right.
And yeah, and that, I think that formed a sort of a resilient spirit in us that we're not going to be held down for too long. We're going to be able to make, you know, it's like the story about the man with the talents. When they gave out the talent to people and you have to make the best of whichever talents that you were given. I think that is strongly embedded in us from, you know, starting from those humble beginnings.
Agreed. Agreed. I like that. I like that. And I appreciate your perspective as well, because, you know, you raised some great points. You know, when you're young, you're forced, right? And part of that dynamic for me is, I'm very family oriented. Like, I love my family. And as we, you know, as we grew older, you know, looking at the separation because of what happened to my grandmother and my mother at a young age, and then having, you know, it's awkward when you're a teenager and you have to be raised by, you know, a third generation prior to yours.
Right.
You know how hard that is. Like, you know, and I sit there and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, you know, my great grandmother was a very strong woman to say, you know what, I'm going to raise my granddaughter's four kids. I'm going to do that.
Right.
And I'm sitting up here like, but she's trying to raise us like they raised kids in the 50s, 40s, and 50s. I'm like, Grandma, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not working. You know? And,
it wasn't meant to be that way. I guess that's the perversion of it. It wasn't intended for it to be that way. But I can tell you one thing, that was a strong generation of women. And if they had the opportunities instead of taking the sacrifices that they made, and they were able to take the opportunities that we have now and that we kind of hold on to a little bit selfishly, when they were always given, like, you can't find many people nowadays that'll just open up their home. They're like, you better figure it out.
You know, and it's funny because, wow, it's funny because I literally sit here and tell my dad, you cannot raise my son the way you tried to raise us. It don't work. It just don't work. Because the times are different, the challenges are different. Kids today see so much more than we saw, right?
And
for me, being as family oriented, you know, I make sure that my kids know each other because I want their nucleus and their dynamic to be so strong, a bond together, that they help bring the family unit back together. You know what I mean? Because I teach them not to look at, you know, someone with money or the color of someone's skin. I said, people are going to look at you that way, but you don't do it. I said, but you be aware of it. And man, there's so much. There's just so much. And at my cousin's funeral, it was a lot. It was a lot to take in. It was a lot to view, you know, and I just sit back, and I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to my uncle, my great uncle's ex-wife, his daughter is the one that passed away. He passed away several years prior, and I'm sitting there talking to her. But you know, we all had on our masks, so you know, I'm looking at her, I'm like, oh, gosh, she looks so familiar. And you know, I went to the restroom, and I came back. She had taken my seat. My obituary? I said, hold on. I said, ma'am.
Okay.
I said, you took my seat and my obituary? She's like, oh, don't do that. I'm an old lady. I'm just an old lady. I said, I'm old too.
So
my sister says to her, is you don't know who that is? And she was like, take down your mask. I took down my mask. She said, wait, who's your mother? I told her my mother. She said, oh, God. She said, I'm Carolyn. I said, oh, my God, my great uncle's ex-wife. How you doing? Because the last time I saw her was at his funeral.
Wow.
He's been there for over 20 years. So it's just crazy. It is just so crazy that dynamic will only come together at funerals, or like I'm saying, which has really brought this topic out, are you just really that well off that you don't want to hang around with us common folk? You know, and it kind of upset me a little bit, you know, but
yeah. Well, you know, I think we're all living in our version of heaven or hell, depending on which direction, you know, we're focused on. You know, you want to try to find the best in the life that you live in or the worst in it, and they might be, you don't know what, even if it is a hell full of money, you don't know what type of hell other people are going through in their own. Man, could be some self-destructive, self-hating. You really never know. You don't know what state anybody else, which vibration anyone else is living on. So it's best to just pray for them and let it go.
Yeah.
Can't control it.
Yeah, that's you know, that's what I do most. You know, I enjoy praying, so I will pray for you in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
Now, Edwina, now that we've gotten the talk portion out of the way, I am honored that you're here for the show, but I'm more honored to hear what you're going to have to share with us tonight. So I'm excited.
Thank you. So I'm gonna
let you have the mic and let you do your thing. So the mic is yours.
All right, thank you. This poem is called The Black Cats, and I think it speaks to what we were talking about, how eventually we kind of hide inside of ourselves and we don't want to share all of who we are with the world. The Black Cats. What you doing, girl? I want to say nothing, not sitting in my car being self-destructive, awaiting the motivation that's never coming. I know I should be out doing something, cleaning something, greeting someone, solving all life's big conundrums, pouring into the wells I come from, mending all that's come undone, filtering all that comes downstream. Nothing bad should get past me. I'm the holder of so many seats that sitting seems a luxury. Hey, queen, how you doing? I want to say fine, or some epithet to pass the time, but I'm feeling like a ball of rage that burns below my rib cage for all the things I've overlooked, every loss I've ever took. I want to slap her in her face for making me feel out of place, and I want to squish him like a grape, instead he gets away with rape. But I've got enough on my plate, and it's unladylike to unpack my hate. It doesn't matter anyway. I got a lot of stuff to do today. Wait, damn, what was I saying? Yeah, I'm fine. Don't mind me, I just lost my mind. Mommy, are you okay? Yes, of course. It's a waste to contemplate divorce. A good mother knows they wouldn't be right to consider running away in the dead of the night. At least not for good, that wouldn't be right. Just an arbitrary length of time to decide if it's his life or mine. But let's read a story and bake a pie. Get lost inside your childlike mind. Let's play house and let's pretend we like this cage we're all trapped in. Mommy shouldn't let it slip. There's a reason I put up with this. Your happiness, my sacrifice, he pays the bills. Come home at night. The rest is fine. I'm fine. Good night. He sprays for bed bugs so they won't bite. I look in the mirror, but not at my reflection. I break it down into little sections. I wash my face and I brush my teeth, avoid the eyes looking back at me. If I asked her how she really felt, then my resolve would all but melt. She asks, when have you checked on you? And there is just too much to do. I assure myself I don't have time to find out if I'm doing fine. Or feeling fine, not really fine. I mean, I know I'll be all right. God's on my side, and I'll toe the line. She won't answer questions that I won't ask, and I won't see through the looking glass. She won't give the thought fight or run a voice, and I'll never have to make a choice. I'll snuggle dulled in my complacency as long as I never have to look at me. Oh, me, don't worry. I'm doing just fine. If you'll excuse me, I've got to go lose my mind. I'm anxious to see what's left behind. That's that piece.
Wow. This is a very, very nice piece. I remember the first time I heard it, I enjoyed it then, and I enjoy it even more so now, because you hear different things in it. Like, how would you want to slap her in the face? Like, right, yeah.
I was like, all those things that you have under the surface that you really don't share, and you just kind of boil on the inside because you have to portray this version of yourself to the rest of the world. But if you really were honest about how you felt inside, yeah, I didn't like what you said, and I might I didn't want
exactly,
to.
Like,
I didn't.
Right. Right. Like, yeah, I'm a nice person, but, yeah, I slapped the taste right out your mouth. Don't get me wrong now. But absolutely. Absolutely. I love this piece. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for coming through. Now
Thank
I'm going to get you on the VIP lounge so that you can grab you a glass of that Italian champagne. Look, I know one thing. Y'all better make sure y'all save me a glass, right? Because, you know, I'll be on the show and I'll be working and the champagne be looking so good and then y'all be drinking it. And then I get over there and then he be like, oh, well, nah, it ain't no more left. Then I'm like, how y'all not got no champagne for me? You know?
Oh, that's dead wrong.
Please make sure you save me a glass, right? Just save me a glass.
I will do.
Thank you so
much. I got you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Edwina, you can catch her this coming Tuesday on Let's Talk Poetry Corner. Oh, man, hosted by King Atterbury. Make sure y'all tune in, man. This is one of the dopest live poetry shows around. There's several poets that come through and share their gift with you all. So please make sure you come through and support. But
also, I did want to tell you also we're supposed to be having a surprise pop-up show tomorrow night at 9:30, same network, uncut is the topic. So bring
uncut. All right, make sure y'all come through. I mean, we will be in the Inspiration Factory on Sunday here.
Oh.
But you know, for those that like to show hop, right? You know, you can go get your fix there and then come have praise with us. You know, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. But make sure y'all tune in. And I love that. I saw the flyer for the pop-up show, Uncut. And, whoo, Lord, if y'all don't know anything about Uncut, man.
Mm-hmm.
Say, what my man Jazzy Brown say, watch out there now.
All right. Thank you so much for that.
All right, Edwina, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, Edwina on her way to the VIP lounge. Let's keep this party going. Next up on the mic, area code 609. I believe I know who this is, but I'll let him introduce himself. Go ahead.
Yeah. What's going on? Hot dinner, please.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Epiphany Zone. Host, one half host of the Inspiration Factory, none other than Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, my brother. So good to have you, brother. How you doing?
Oh, I am exhausted.
Exhausted? They still working storm. You like crazy, man?
Man, today was worse. They had a 50% off family dinners. Special.
Oh, Lord. Wait, what?
In advance. Yeah.
50% off.
But I'm telling me in advance, and I was doing a double. So it's like a buy one, get one free for your dinners.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they had the right man for the job. They had the right man for the job.
I agreed to do a double, and my. The Energizer Bunny has lost its energy. Don,
I hear that, my brother.
Oh my goodness!
I hear that, bro. But I'm glad you're all right, brother. I'm glad you're all right.
Money and I'm done. Yes, sir. Oh, I get more energy when it's time to leave.
I think we all do. I think we all do that.
Yeah. When it's time to go, you get energized.
So let's talk about it, Paul.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about it, man. What are your thoughts on tonight's topic? Family, poverty, separation because of those who are well-to-do versus those who are not doing as well as they could. How has the poverty level pretty much affected the family dynamic, if it has?
It hasn't. I didn't know we were poor until I was grown.
Mm.
You know, because Mama made sure that we always had plenty of stuff under the Christmas tree. We always had food to eat, you know. I didn't know that other folks had it better off. We were rich, and part of our richness was the love and our sense of family.
Right.
So we didn't want for anything. We didn't miss out on nothing. And now, since then, I have one brother who is doing quite, him and his wife are doing quite well. But we're still as tight and as thick as we've always been.
Okay.
You know, I think the love that we founded and the togetherness we founded through the poverty has kept us strong, even though we're at different income levels.
Gotcha.
If I get in a bind of yours, I need to borrow something. He's right there.
Right.
For us, it hasn't really made a difference whatsoever. I've seen in other families where it has, but thank God that hasn't happened with the Sampson household.
Okay. Wow. I mean, you know, it's funny because I, too, have those same memories. You know, we might have been poor, but when it came down to, you know, we always had the food on the table. We did have the clothes on our backs. We, you know, me and my brothers and my cousins, we might not have, you know, enjoyed the type of clothes that were on our back, but we had them on our backs. We had the shoes on our feet. And at the holidays time, at Christmas time, we always had toys under the tree. And
right.
Back then, my parents, my grandmother, my aunts and my uncle, they never wrapped any toys. They just put them under the tree in sections for us. So
I literally
didn't start wrapping presents until I became a teenager and actually had a girlfriend, you know. I was like, what y'all wrapping presents for? I mean, we didn't do that in my house. So even today, even though I have the ability to wrap presents, I may wrap some presents, but there are some presents that I will not wrap because that's a family tradition that's within me, right? So I just won't do it, you know, but I wrap some of them, but I don't want to lose some of what I grew up knowing because of poverty, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And just think,
so true.
Being poor has given you a strength that a lot of rich folks don't have. It's a known fact that there are more stress-related illnesses amongst the wealthy than there are amongst the poor. When the stock market crashed, you had stockbrokers jumping out the window because they lost their money. But look, we was already
right.
Broke. We now survived broke, so it didn't
matter.
We made it.
Right. Wow. Man, y'all really bringing out some stuff in this show tonight, man. Y'all really bringing out some stuff. And, you know, the family dynamic, man, it's changed over the years. And one thing that we didn't talk about was security, right? Safety and security, right? In terms of this poverty thing, because we know that in most of our more neighborhoods that are in poverty, there's more crime in those neighborhoods. So some well-to-do family members may not want to put their family in harm's way to come visit that neighborhood, right? And I certainly understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that. But just don't wear your expensive jewelry, right? Have
there
two cars. Have one car that's your expensive car, but
tuck it in. Right.
Tuck it in. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing, bro. Deep, deep conversation, Paul. Thank you for being transparent, my brother. And my brother, are you prepared to share a piece right now?
Oh, yeah, I'd be happy to. I could sit down for a second.
Good.
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 And, you know,
listen.
I really didn't know the theme of the show. because I was like I said, I've been working, I was just so tired. And then my phone was about to die, so I took it out to the car and turned the car on and let it charge up enough to do a piece and came back here. And I just kind of like sojourned and picked a piece. And the piece is called Dare to Be You.
All right. Excellent. Well, the mic is yours.
Thank you, sir. I saw a brother with a certain style of suit that was all of that. I mean, that brother had it going on from his shoes, socks, and his hat. And I wanted one just like it because it looked so good. I was going to be the sharpest brother in the hood. So I spent money I didn't have on a suit just like his, and I knew I was the man till it hit me. I was in the shoes of another. That is where I was taking my stand. This was not the path God desired for me. This was as long as Aaron thinking he could part the Red Sea. That was solely from Moses, who finally dared to be himself. And praise God, the rest is history. Being the you that you were created by God to be is the you that will have a say in the church's history or in this world's history. Daring to be you is how God can come through and bless everything that you do. Daring to be you is a true act of strength and unmeasurable faith. For in daring to be you, you are daring to walk in God's righteousness. God didn't create any one of us to be a follower of any other one than himself. And the sooner we recognize and walk in this, the sooner we shall receive a portion of our spiritual wealth. This word is for us more seasoned saints, yes, but it's, I think, especially important for our youth. Dare to be you, and not like the quote-unquote cool kids in school. Because 9 times out of 10, in doing so, you wind up either being someone else's look-alike or a worldly, ungodly fool. Words of the wise, dare to be you. That's that piece.
Yes, sir, Paul. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, indeed. Dare to be you. Listen, you know, we live in an age of fake it till you make it, right?
Yeah.
That's what we live in right now, fake it till you make it. One thing you should never fake is yourself. Now, I really appreciate this piece, Paul. I really appreciate this piece. Thank you for sharing it, my brother.
It's my pleasure. You know, we got to be about our Father's business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got to be. We couldn't have it any other way. Any other way.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
So my brother. My brother. Can you let everybody know what is jumping off tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night. I want everybody listening to grab a young folk in your sphere of influence and bring them to the Inspiration Factory, 8 p.m. Our usual shows are at 9, but the last Sunday of every month is Youth Sunday. Bring them through. This is a judgment-free platform for them to talk about what's going on in school. Spit a piece of poetry if they have it, but it's somewhere they can go to vent. Maybe even get some advice, you know, that they might not want to share with their parents or might not want to share with their buddies, you know. Plus, this is a way where we can keep track of what's going on in the minds of our youth. You know, takes an entire village to raise one child, each child, and that's the theme for the adults for tomorrow night, by the way.
Yes.
It takes one village to raise each child, and that's the theme for the grown folk to write to. But it's Youth Sunday. 319-527-6300 at the Inspiration Factory with myself, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and my partner in praise, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. Y'all come on through, 8 p.m. See how we do it over there at the Inspiration Factory.
Take
prayer requests. Whatever it takes, we got it.
please come through. Let's have a good time. And bring your children. Bring the children.
That's right. Bring them children.
Bring them children. Let them come through.
You got to watch them for a few minutes. You know, the show's on for 2 hours. That's 2 hours. You can get a break.
Absolutely.
Let us be your babysitter.
Let them have their time. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Oh.
Well, all right, my brother. Thank you so much, Paul, for coming through, man. We're going to send you one over to the VIP lounge. There's some champagne flowing throughout there. I've already made my claim to make sure that I have some. So if it's all gone when I get there, I'll know that you drank it all.
Well, I'm a hit and run.
I know that's right.
The day I had today, I might have me 2 glasses.
I know that's right, bro. All right, brother.
But thank you.
Get on over to VIP Lounge, man. Thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate you coming through and hanging out with us, man.
My pleasure.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. God bless you.
God bless you.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is divine inspiration, Paul Sampson, coming through and just pretty much just letting you know, just letting you know. Come on out tomorrow night for the Inspiration Factory. Hang out with us. Have a good time. But we're going to keep this party going. Next up on the mic, we got a freestyle queen in Gina Storm. Hey, Gina.
Happy Saturday, Van.
Happy
Saturday.
How are you? How are you? I am great. How are you?
I took a few days off poetry, so this is actually my first mic in several days. And I feel good, and I'm glad I'm here.
Oh, man, I'm glad you're here, too. I'm glad that I'm one of the first mics put you back, because, you know, I get that raw and uncut Gina Storm. Ooh-wee, in the free.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. I love it. Now, before we get to your poetry, this
okay.
is let's talk about it. So we got something that we need to talk about, right?
Sure.
So for you, how has poverty separated your family in terms of those who are well-to-do versus those who live in poverty beneath those who are well-to-do? Do they come for family events because, you know, hey, y'all poor, we well-to-do. We not coming to y'all house. We not coming to your hood. We not doing that.
Every family has the bougie family members, so I love this.
Absolutely. So let's talk about it, Gina Storm. Let's talk
sure,
about it.
Sure. I love this. Oh, God. Yeah, my family's a hot, ridiculous mess on both sides, so there's no point in me, you know, pointing a finger at my mom's side or my dad's side. It's everybody. But
right.
what I really love is the classism, like you said, that separation between the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
So the people with money in my family, and I love this, like let's say we book a block or a whole floor of rooms for the family reunion. When we're staying somewhere, I think is nice. Like the Drury Inn, they have amazing breakfast in the morning, pool, gym, hot tub. You know, you can get a suite. It's nice.
Hold on, let me write that down because I usually don't stay at those. But you got me convinced.
Those are amazing. I you know what? I would do their commercials. I swear I would. You know how the people walking down the red carpet like they have just arrived and the paparazzi is taking pictures because they stayed at such hotel. I don't know that chain. It should be Drury Inn though. Oh, love them. And that's not,
okay.
Drury Inns are not up north. They're down south. So it depends
right.
on where I'm at, where we stay. So to me, staying in the Drury, when I'm with that family, I feel like, you know, this is cool. I'm good. Not the bougie family members. They be staying at the Marriott and the Hilton. We had our family reunion in Joliet. They stayed in Chicago at the Drake. I don't know if you know how expensive a hotel room is. Like, drive in Chicago, but I'm going to be honest with you. It ain't no way I'm staying there unless I got Compton room or it was a gift. But I'm not spending my money on that. I'm sorry. For one night, no. So, yeah,
oh,
the family is a mess. But you know what? There are a lot of generosity. There's a lot of people who have plenty. And because they do, they help others. So there are family members that would be struggling or could not attend, and, you know, their fees were paid, the T-shirts were purchased, and they got a little pocket change because we didn't want anybody not to be there, and so we tried to, you know, make it balanced. Now, there are some people that literally take advantage, don't pay for anything, and always take home plates. We got that list, too, so you have to just keep an eye on the people that's taking advantage so that everybody can have a good time, and there doesn't have to be any, you know, separation.
Right, right. I love that. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's good. That's good that they do that because I know I didn't have that, right? And it's important when you are a family that you do take care of each other. Now, you know, you got those members that, you know, well, I'm not going to pay for this because I know so-and-so going to pay for it, so I'm going to take advantage of the system. No,
yeah.
No, ma'am, no, sir.
There's
this
a couple,
is not
and you know what,
for.
Like I said, we all know who they are because they do the same thing at local events. You know,
mm-hmm.
they won't even bring ice. It's okay that you
wow.
don't cook. I get that. We prefer you don't. But if you don't even contribute... Yet you take it home 5 plates. Mm-mm, I got to give you the
yeah,
side eye.
Yeah, I got to look at you a little different. Yeah,
that's not right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's just wrong. That's all
no,
types
man,
of wrong.
That's not.
Mhm. So it
but,
usually
you know,
balances out, you know. But when in every situation with friends, family, you know, whatever mm-hmm. the situation is, you have to simply say to yourself, "Know your people. Know your
right.
people."
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to go one
yeah.
of the bougie aunties and stay at a hotel room that's got bathrobes and slippers.
Man,
they turn
listen.
Down your covers at night and put
turn
a candy
down
your on
covers
your
covers at night. Put a candy
oh.
on your pillow. Man.
Oh,
listen,
my God.
I'm,
just too many
you know,
perks.
Now,
yeah. So, you know what? Like
now,
I said, I love the jewelry. I can afford that. That's
right,
in my
right,
in my price range. It's
right.
not going to break me. I can enjoy my stay. And we get a discount because there's a lot of rooms and a lot of people for a lot of days. But, yeah, there's some
right.
family members just not doing it. They feel like they're staying at the, I don't know, one of the hotel chains with a number in the name.
And, you know, I worked in the hotel industry for
mm-hmm.
20 years, right?
Yeah.
So I am picky about the hotels that I stay in.
Because
I want to enjoy
it
my stay. You know, I know the ins and outs of hotels. I mean, It's bad because I literally go to the hotel and I'm already trying to point out what's wrong before I can even get to enjoy my stay, right?
Love it.
So,
yeah.
So my kids be like, Dad, really?
Don't do that.
Really? Don't do it. Can we just have a good time? I'm like, hold on. I got to inspect the bed. Make sure ain't no hair in the bed. Ain't no hair in the tub. Because I know how housekeepers clean the rooms,
yeah.
right? I
yeah.
used to work in housekeepers, so
yeah.
I know how they clean the rooms. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not spending Drake Hotel money. What? No,
no.
I'm not doing that. Ritz-Carlton,
yeah,
no,
they,
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, Ritz-Carlton, all of that, they were nuts.
I'm not doing bananas.
The stuff they did, places they stayed, the restaurants they ate in, I was thinking, that's a lot of money. For a 3-day trip, I'm not doing it. I'm different, you know.
My
family calls me cheap, but I think that this frugality that I learned as a child, that I took into adulthood, is going to transfer to my grandchildren, and they will never want for anything.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
I love
I'm looking
it.
At the big thing.
I love it. You got to, man. You got to.
Absolutely.
Now,
oh, I love this. This is excellent.
Oh, man, listen, it was either this or the other topic I had in mind, but I figured, you know, we all got those family members that you know. Now, next couple, you know, week after next, now that show, whoo, child, we might be going someplace different. But, you know, we all got those family members, you know. We all got the family that we know, you know, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. Oh, no, they're not coming. They're too good for us. They're not coming. Watch. My word, watch they don't come. Y'all know that's how we talk. You know that's how we talk. Oh, they're not coming. No, they're not coming. Mm-mm. But I digress.
It's real.
Absolutely. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, I am ready for this raw freestyle. Ooh-wee, I'm over here rubbing my hands together. So I'm going to get out the way and let you have the mic. So, Gina Storm, The mic is yours.
All right. I'm going to title my freestyle Family Reunion, because I'm going to use an actual reunion's memories as the material. Family reunion in my family has always been a big deal. Like, my father's family do it kind of, sort of, but not for real. My mother's family, however, they do it like they got money on it. They need to have everybody together as often as possible, so we agreed on it. It's going to be every other year. We've been doing that for quite some time. So next year will actually be a year for our reunion. So I have to look back and think back to the last one that we had in 2019. Yeah, it wasn't so grand. It was actually one of the worst to date. It was in Tampa, and everybody was thinking because it was a warm place, it would be awesome. But it wasn't. There was this big disparity and difference between the people who were the organizers and the people that they looked out for. The small children, the babies, the toddlers, the kids under 10 really had no activities, nothing to do to occupy them. The older crowd had some really rough terrain in which they had to ambulate across, some of which using canes and walkers. I don't think anybody gave that some thought. Then there was another reality. There were the people who don't get turned up in front of family like me. Like, I drink at home, but I, even if I got drunk enough to fall on the floor, would nobody see it because I live here by myself. That's for sure. The worst part of it is those young people who come in smelling like they just had a session with Snoop and Wiz. I get that, y'all. I medicate herbally, too, but there should be a level of decorum that you use. At least be respectful of the older generation, and that wasn't something that they did, but I'm going to tell you, it got it right. It was in 2015, and we were in Cincinnati, and those cousins gave us the template. I wish that everybody, including my own family who hosted it, had have done the same thing that they did. I'm talking about it was legit. There was activities for the kids, so many that they would be exhausted. Some fell asleep in the tub before they could go to bed. Do you hear me? So when the younger people wanted to go to the club and the old heads like me stayed home and watched the babies in the hotel rooms, we basically were just being adults for supervision, not really having to do any babysitting because those kids got it in. They did three-legged races, and they were tossing off eggs on spoons with each other's mouths, jumping double dutch and hopscotch, and I'm talking about dance contests. We had a whole fashion show as well as they did karaoke. Yo, they had bingo for the old folks. They made sure that there was a path or some way for the people who were not able to ambulate, not just the elderly, but there's a couple of cousins who were in wheelchairs too, one because he lost his feet. And here we were all having a ball at the same time in the same space and just being that family. Smiles on our face. I looked at the pictures and nobody was angry. Nobody was grumpy. I know a couple of times when we were in Tampa, I was acting funny. I actually considered going to SeaWorld in Orlando and fly back home with my family to Chicago the next day. My mom said, you might do it. I said, yeah. And at that very moment, I realized the bougie family members that we were discussing earlier, it's me. In peace.
Man, listen, first of all, let me just say that this was a dope freestyle. I loved it, every bit of it.
And thank you.
I like the part where you said, oh, I'm going to get drunk falling. I could be drunk falling on my floor. Nobody would know because I live there all by myself.
Yes. But you can't do that at a family reunion. Somebody actually did that. Something that, you know, like fall down pissy drunk. Whoa, we ain't gonna never forget this. We're gonna talk about this forever.
Wow. Forever.
Yes. Somebody took pictures. I think there was a video. I don't know. But yeah, it was terrible. And I was like, wow. This is my family. Yeah. Gotta make better choices. But I like when they look out for everybody, and I hate when they don't. But I did realize, because I was real, my mom said, you are so judgy, this reunion. It was horrible. So I know the difference, man, between a good reunion and a bad one. And, yeah, if there is a group of people that turn their nose up at the rest of the family, it was me. I'm that person.
Yeah. She said she's that person.
Oh, I'm not like y'all. Look, my mama was there. She was still whooping me in front of people. She don't care how old I am. Yeah, no. They act like they ain't had no home training. It was terrible. Oh, but wow. I had fun with that. I had fun in family reunions. You know, I'm never going to miss. I feel like that's something I need to be at.
Absolutely. You got to be at them. Got to.
Oh, yeah. Even if it's a hot mess. They're my people. That's my hot mess. So I'm thanking you, and I'm glad I'm back. I'll see you in the sanctuary tomorrow.
Absolutely. Can't wait to see you there. But we're going to send you on over to the VIP lounge so you can grab your glass of that Italian champagne that's just waiting for you.
I appreciate it. I'm going to do the two-step.
All right now. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Gina Storm on her way to the VIP lounge. Man, what a show tonight, man. You guys came through. You were transparent. You were open. Your poetry was amazing, and I love it. Let me give you the epiphany lineup. Join us tomorrow night for the Inspiration Factory with your host, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, yours truly poetic. Monday night's going to be the Soul Cafe with the CEO himself, Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the poet Douglas, La Pearl, La Negra, and yours truly poetic. Tuesday night's going to be War Council with your host, Mojave. Wednesday night is going to be the Love Zone, Miss VIP, and La Pearl, La Negra. Thursday night's The Get Down, J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly poetic. Friday night is going to be Renaissance Poetry with your host, Keith Eric. Stay tuned. We may have a show lineup change there. But Saturday night's Poetic Therapy with La Pearl, La Negra, and Stan the Man Phillips. Man, what a time to be at Epiphany Radio. Make sure y'all tune in. But tomorrow night is Youth Poetry, and the showtime will not be at 9 o'clock. It will be at 8 p.m. So to the poets, the callers, the listeners, thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk About It, where we do Daylight Differently. Thank you for exposing your creativity and exposing the realness that is you, which is why Let's Talk About It exists, so that we can talk about these things. Without you, there's no Epiphany Radio. One love, one mic, and we will see you tomorrow night. Please enjoy this closing song. I hope you love it. One love, one mic. Peace.
Last night before I went to bed, I fell to my knees and I prayed for for a long-lasting relationship so that you and I will always be together.